Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL on CBS game every week on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll get back to your Giants calls in just a second here. I want to work in the Jets a little bit. There's a couple of different things going on with the Jets so far, BT. The first thing to me would be Aaron Rodgers. And obviously, it's always the first thing with the Jets, but a couple little issues. One, whether or not he should play in preseason games, whether or not he will play in preseason games. And then number two, him and Garrett Wilson getting into a little heated exchange that people had it went viral the other day. What do you make of Rodgers and Garrett Wilson's exchange?
I love it, actually. I really do. This is a good example of how things get hijacked and really, really grossly misrepresented. That's a beautiful thing. In terms of a competitive sport, that's what you want. Like, that's the old Jedi and, like, the young pup who is now not just willing to accept everything, I'm talking about Garrett, where he now feels as if, and he should feel this way, he's earned a little equity where he can push back and either ask questions or offer stuff that maybe he didn't feel comfortable doing a year ago. I love it. I think that, not everybody jumped into this, but the way it was initially, oh my God, look at the misfunction with the malfunctions already, and dysfunction with the Jets already. Oh, Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, not on the same page. These people are losers who look, like, I see people who look at stuff that way, and I say to myself, those are people who never played a competitive second of sports in their life. Because when you're out there sweating your ass off, and I know it's not 2 days like it used to be back in the day, but you're going to bark at each other. You're going to get under each other's skin. I don't care if you're the top receiver or the top quarterback. It doesn't matter. It is immaterial. They are two alphas, and they're setting the tone for this rudderless, losing franchise to just pull themselves out of the weeds of hell. And they're not going to take it laying down. And I loved it. I loved what they did.
I don't even think it was that big of a deal. Like, I've seen
people made it a big deal.
Yeah, but I mean, even watching the video, it's like, okay, well, where is it going to get testy? Like, no pushing, no shoving, no punches thrown. And by the way, you talk about two alpha males, and I'm fine with it, too. Like, I want that from Garrett Wilson to not back down to anybody. I don't care how many Super Bowls he's won.
Yep.
Hey, I'm here, and I expect to be a stud, too. That's great. I'm not a rookie anymore. I've been here. Like, that's what his attitude should be. You don't back down from anybody. Now, you respect them. Of course, you do it in a respectful way, and who knows what they were exactly saying. My question is, where's the head coach? Like, if Garrett Wilson has the guts to question Aaron Rodgers and go at him, how come the head coach is like he's neutered when he talks and deals about Aaron Rodgers?
Now, let me ask you this. I don't know the answer to that because...
But it is true.
Oh, this is something you and I have talked about for a while, and it's one of the big reasons why things don't work out for the Jets this year outside of some horrific injury to Aaron Rodgers. I think you and I both think a lot of it will be left at the doorstep of the head coach, who we don't believe in, nor do we trust. That's just the bottom line with Rob Saleh. Prove us wrong, coach. We hope that you do.
Right.
But have you noticed early a different Saleh or the same guy in front of the microphone?
To me, he seems the same.
Yeah,
to me.
I agree.
Okay, yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, right. He's not going to change. What made you think he was going to change?
I was hoping for a little transformation into...
That's just not him, BT. Well, he should be. You're right. Especially knowing, like, this is it. This is it for you. In all likelihood, if things were to, I was going to say go wrong, but... Even if he under-delivers the expectations this year, I think that there's a scenario where the Jets could be a 9 or 10-win team, and you could still justify moving on from Robert Saleh after the year. You know,
yes.
Similar to Daniel Jones. Like, if they both kind of halfway it and are okay, don't make it definitive one way or the other.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What are you going to do, ride it out again with them? So, but point is, Saleh should know, hey, this is it. Just go out guns a-blazing.
He's not going to do that.
It's not, well, because it's not him.
He's too much of a team-friendly coach, and that's the problem. He doesn't drop the hammer when he has to.
Right, but there was a thought, and even myself had this thought, like, it was because of Rodgers. It was because of the presence of Rodgers.
Like, acquiesce?
Correct.
Okay.
But if Garrett Wilson could talk up to Rodgers, as you should, somebody should. Rodgers not a god. Not yet. He hasn't won a Super Bowl here.
Yeah.
You do that, you become a sports guy. But somebody's got to have the ability to go back at Aaron Rodgers. Like, what's it going to be? Rodgers calling the shots and nobody's going to hold him accountable except the media or fans? Well, what are we doing here? So good for Garrett Wilson. And again, yeah. I don't know the specifics of it. I'm sure Hackett can do it on some level because those guys are friends. Mm. But again, on some level, in the power structure, Rodgers has all the power in the franchise. That's what bothers me about their structure, where it should be Robert Saleh holding him accountable when need be. But he's not going to do that. And by the way, one reason why he can't do that, because he doesn't have the equity.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the resume.
He doesn't have the juice. You know, this goes back to Hard Knocks last year. And, you know, kind of like we're doing this year, grading the optics of Hard Knocks for the Giants. We did the same thing for the Jets. And one of the things that I love when our local teams are captured here. I do. I loved it with Rex.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
It's fun. I mean, I'm going to watch it anyway, but when the Jets or the Giants now are involved, it's just, it's must-watch stuff.
I probably won't watch the Bears. You going to watch the Bears?
I'll check in. Yeah, yeah, I'll check. Well, you know, maybe it's different. I use Hard Knocks to me as a means to kind of rev up my football motor, but the Giants, the Hard Knocks has already done that, even though it's preseason stuff.
Right.
So this might be the year that it's a little different where I kind of sway the course and I don't lock into every second of the Bears, whatever. But last year it was apparent too. Like, what was that ridiculous analogy about the hummingbird or the falcon or whatever the hell he was saying that made no sense? I remember coming in the next day and I'm like, I almost feel bad picking apart this guy's analogy, but it just didn't feel authentic. It didn't.
Unfortunately, he ain't it. And to me, it's the one clear thing missing for the Jets to prevent a legitimate Super Bowl team. Because on paper, their roster, loaded. I just don't trust the head coach at all. Back to the call. Steve is calling from Long Beach Island. What's up, Stevie?
Steve-o.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I just want to address, first of all, Daniel Jones is not the worst quarterback there ever was. Maybe he hasn't had a great career yet, but he has shown you that he has ability with a lot less supporting cast. And as far as who they pick at number six, the bottom line is they've already invested a lot of draft capital in the offensive line. After drafting Evan Neal 2 years ago, to draft another offensive lineman at this point would have been a waste. Right now, it's all about building up the team, giving Daniel Jones the opportunity, and if he succeeds, fine, and if he doesn't, he doesn't. By the way, Drake May is not exactly lighting it up in training camp.
No.
So what? That doesn't mean anything.
Well, okay, well, only because I think there's been a knock on the way Daniel Jones has played in training.
Well, I wouldn't put any stock in that either. So, to be fair,
okay,
I don't
good.
Care.
All right, well,
yeah, I don't want to hear about Daniel Jones missing receiver. I'll tell you what, there's nothing more meaningless in sports than the constant tweeting and reports about every play in training camp. It means nothing.
Yeah, it did pull me in last year with Zach, though. You know, look at Zach in short 2 years ago with Zach. You know, but I hear you. It's played out.
To even compare the two, we've seen Daniel Jones have success. 2 years ago, he led them to the division. They won a playoff game.
Yeah.
So with a much better supporting cast, why can't they at least do the very same thing? One last comparison. I'm older than you guys. Look at the career of Phil Simms. Phil Simms had five injury-plagued, very pedestrian years.
Yeah.
From 1979 to 1983. When they built up the team, Phil Simms became the quarterback we all know between 1984 and 1990.
That's true.
The way to build the team is you did address the offensive line. Instead of drafting guys, you went and got some veterans, just like the Jets did. I know they drafted the offensive lineman from Penn State in the first round. What the Giants needed is a receiver. They built the line. They've got
How'd that work when they took Odell Beckham Jr., Steve?
Well, but the team wasn't any good.
Okay, and thank you for the call. Well, this team isn't any good, or haven't been any good. Could they be good this year? Sure. But they haven't been. They were awful last year. If a team is good, they should not get to the depths that the Giants got last year, even if their starting quarterback goes down. I know it was more than just that, with Thomas being out as well, Barkley always being banged up. But
Thomas got hurt right away, his hamstring. That was the Dallas game, right? Didn't Andrew Thomas get hurt the first game against Dallas?
Yes.
And I think he did. First game.
By the way, the sport is different. So you could talk about Phil Simms in, you know, the 70s or 80s. Sport's different now with the clock on quarterbacks.
Yes.
And the Giants didn't pay him $40 million a year.
Well, you could even go a little more recent than Phil and say Eli. Yeah. You know, it was a little wobbly out of the chute here.
Right.
We were all, you know, you were with Mike and Chris, and I was on another station. Like, during Eli's early stages, we were like,
it was ugly.
You know, we don't look like Peyton. We don't think they actually got the right guy. So
and by the way, throughout the course of his career,
yes, true.
He was never a great regular season quarterback.
No, I never watched, like, you bounce around, you watch the red zone. Like, let's take us out of it because we're here and we're territorial and Giant fans. It's tough, not that you need to, but it's very hard to remove the two Super Bowls and really objectively state, like, what Eli was as a regular season quarterback. It's a little tricky to do. I get that. But I can promise you, if you're, you know, watching the red zone in basically any other of the 49 states, right, you're sitting there saying, yeah, you know, he's okay.
Right.
He's nothing special.
Now, I think he's a Hall of Famer.
No, I agree, too.
Because of those two Super Bowl runs. Like, you can't just take him away. Well, if you take those away, well, they happened.
Yeah. I thought Matt Ryan was better during the regular season.
Well, he was.
I thought Matt Ryan, I mean, there was I thought Phillip Rivers during the regular season was more prolific. Although Ben Roethlisberger, I don't want to get down the Eli rabbit hole. The point being is that whether it was Eli or even Phil, and our last call is right, Phil's fourth season, he missed the entire year. The first 3 years combined, he was the seventh overall pick. Jones was six. Phil was number seven coming out of Morehead State in 1979. His first 3 years, he threw more picks than touchdowns. Fourth year, didn't play a snap, missed everything. Giants didn't win. Parcells almost got fired after Perkins. And they were a mess. The difference is, and you hit on something, the contractual commitment back. First of all, the clicks and the radio shows this and the that. It's too loud to ignore. You're not going to get a 7 or 8 year leash like Phil did. And then Phil became the man. We love Phil. But it was rocky early. It's a different time.
Yeah,
and it's over. And those days don't exist anymore. Same with Zach. Same with Darnold back in the day. It is what it is.
And it's not here.
It's everywhere.
And
Trey
it's not.
Lance.
It's not. It doesn't mean that it's right
or
wrong. It doesn't mean that it's fair to those players. It's not fair to the quarterbacks. But the expectations are, you take a quarterback now, especially in the first round, you better deliver. If not by year two, you're basically done.
I know.
And with Daniel, you got to, because you have to, based on the rules of the league.
The finances.
Yeah, you have to make a decision by year three, essentially.
And you can't rescind that. Back in the day, I forget when they changed this rule, if you tagged somebody, you can rescind it. You can't do that anymore. So it's really basically, it's after year three where you got to know.
You know, it's weird for me too, BT. As I said, I've been back and forth with this with Daniel Jones specifically. And going into last year, I felt good about Jones. How could you not, coming off of the... that you could have your disbelief in him or limitations on what he could do, certainly. But off of winning a road playoff game, like, that's hard to do in the NFL. So you had to give him credit. And they won because of him. So I'm thinking, all right, they'll take the next step. And then obviously it was not only didn't take the next step, it was a step backwards, total regress. Could this be the year? Like, could last year have been the aberration? And now if I eliminate last year from my mind, building off of the playoff year, healthy Daniel Jones, better offensive line, better weapons, could this be the year where Jones finally takes off? I mean, I guess it's possible. But, I mean, how many years do we need to see the inconsistency before you realize it is what it is with him?
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. Let me put it this way. If he was the Jets quarterback last year, they're a playoff team. And I say that because I think that at least illuminates a few things where, you know, let's not get it twisted. I think all of us who are I'm not a Daniel Jones detractor. That's too strong.
Right.
But I'm certainly not an ardent supporter. All right, I'm not. I'm past that. I was at one point. But by saying if he's quarterbacking the Jets a year ago, that's my way of saying this guy's got some talent.
Right.
Like, he's not a scrub. But that's not even close to being a scrub. He's a good athlete. He's got a good head. He's smart. He's tough, which is part of the reason why he's always getting hurt, whether it was the Dallas game when he lowered his pads and he hurt his neck, or, you know, his knee exploding or getting popped behind the old line and always getting up. Like, he's got value. The problem is you just get to an expiration point, and I think after this season, we're at that expiration point for Daniel Jones.
Is it fair to say Daniel Jones needs to get better as a quarterback?
Needs to get better. Yeah, I'd say slightly.
Okay.
Sure. He's got to throw more touchdowns.
Right. He needs to get better, right?
Yeah.
I think most people would agree. Maybe some people don't. I would say it's fair. The majority of people think Daniel Jones needs to show improvement this season. It's year six. Like, we're going into year six.
I know.
How many years do you get to show improvement?
He's gotten
at least six. But in the first five, the improvements that he's shown have been minimal. He showed one with Dable taking over, and we gave Dable credit, and we gave Daniel Jones credit. But then last year, significant regression. So we haven't seen what most people expected to see of Jones or wanted to see of Jones. And by the way, there's been significant regression, especially when we look at the touchdowns thrown from year one to where we're at now.
Yep.
But like you know, don't really need to see him healthy. There's a question about the health, but also he's got to get better. And going into year six, why would you expect that it's going to get better in year six?
Well, I think if you expect it to get like exponentially better, you're just fooling yourself. I think there's three problems with Jones right now. Number one, the contract, which is not crazy, but it's not a good thing. Number two, injury history.
Right.
Number three, ceiling throwing the ball not high enough.
Hey,
those are three pretty big things.
Exactly. It doesn't mean it can't be changed, but based on what we've seen so far, I don't think it's likely.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT is out back on the Fan. Fanatics Fest NYC is taking over the Javits Center from August 16th through the 18th. Right now, be caller number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win a four-pack of tickets and be part of the first-ever immersive sports fan festival at Fanatics Fest. This is from our friends at Fanatics Live. Visit FanaticsFest.com for the full athletic lineup. I'm looking forward to it, BT. We're getting closer to it, obviously, just a few weeks away now. I'm looking forward to it. You know how many people are going to be there for that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be huge.
As like the former athletes or current athletes.
We have some good stuff coming up. We'll be at Giants Camp. Hoff, when are we out there? That is the
19th? 20th, I think.
20th, okay.
That Tuesday will be at Giants Camp.
Nice, nice. We'll do that. And
Jets Camp is when?
We're waiting on that. Okay. I don't know. I don't know if we'll be there. Come on, man.
No. You and I could go. We went through the show there, but we could go separately.
Oh yeah, no, I know.
I was thinking
about
that.
Have you been to that building?
No,
yet?
Which is why. Because yesterday on the way home after we did the afternoons, I drove past on Route 3, Giants Stadium or whatever, MetLife Stadium.
Diagnostic Quest.
Yes,
sure.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. And we were there last year. We're going to be doing it again, as you said. And I was like, you know what? I gotta go to the
Sal's in Jersey now. For those who don't know,
so
learning the roads.
I gotta see the Jets facility because it looks incredible.
It's awesome, dude.
Yeah, I've never been.
The Jets facility is sick.
So I was thinking of that yesterday. I'm gonna at some point get, and it's not too far from, I think, where we live, right?
No, not at all.
Okay, so I want to just get a pass, go out there one of these days. I know we're not gonna be doing the show from there, and I'm not sure the date that the other guys will be doing the show from there, but either way, I want to go. And I was thinking, man, maybe BT and I go out on an off day or something. And
yeah.
Well, that sound appealing to you or no, not really?
Go try to give Salva some advice? Oh, definitely sounds appealing. I always go.
Yeah, go talk off the record with Coach and Rogers. You think we set that up maybe?
You see what's going on.
Hey, Coach.
You we get his phone number. We can divulge text messages like Beningo did. Yeah, it'll be a great year for the Jets.
Oh, my God. Man. BT and Sal, the Fan. One more thing on the Jets before we get back to the calls here. 888-808-1019. Would you play Rogers in the preseason?
I would. I play him like they did last year. I'd do the same thing. Not the first two games.
You were at the game he played last year,
I was
right?
At the Giants-Jets game.
Yeah.
Glorious. What a beautiful throw to the pylon to Garrett. Touchdown.
Place was excited as a preseason crowd.
It was a good night. I walked out of there, dude. Oh, I had like two beers, you know, nice. Right. The family.
Kids got to meet some of the players.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, I mean, that's in addition to that, being on the field, Jets really, really took care of us, as did the Giants. It was greatly appreciated. But just, I'm saying, from my perspective, walking out of there after that dime that Rodgers threw back shoulder to Wilson, I said, "It's we're going this year. It's the year."
Are you going to, before we get back to the Rodgers thing?
Yeah,
I know. And then he gets hurt. I want to get back to that in one second, but I just got sidetracked. I know you do the Jets thing with the road trips. So you'd be going to the road games.
Yeah, go to Tennessee, going to London, and going to Pittsburgh.
And you said there might be some others. But
yeah, might be. Might be a Miami trip, too.
You have any home games scheduled?
No. No, last year I did something at a home game. I did a tailgate.
Okay.
But I usually go to a home game a year myself.
You're going to have to take, as I was going to say, you're going to take Colt.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, he's still, honestly,
he doesn't like going?
I don't think I would have taken him yet. Like, I've taken him everywhere else. Like, he's nine, as you know. He just, you know.
Daddy gets too rowdy?
No. Young daddy used to get too rowdy. Young daddy was didn't have any rules back then. Pretty much do whatever he wanted like an idiot.
Right.
No. The, I hate to say this, but I'm just going to be honest. I don't think it's a place for a 9-year-old kid. Honestly don't. It gets so vile. And listen, I'm not going to say, come on, he never heard daddy curse. I'm not proud of him, but of course he has. But, you know, between the fights and the drunks and I just think he's still a little young.
Yeah,
for me.
Now you're even turning me off to it, but I was thinking because I'm in Jersey now, like the thought of going from Long Island to MetLife Stadium.
That's misery.
It's a non-starter. Like misery. I've done it several times in my life, but years ago.
Yeah.
Now, there's no chance I would do that. But being that I'm only a half hour.
It's simple.
Yeah.
Just hop on Route 3 right
appealing.
There.
It's appealing. Even driving past that stadium, man, gives me the feels.
Yeah.
I think I want to go. I haven't been to a Jet or a Giant game in a long time.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm trying to even think of the last time I was at. Giants might have been, the last game I was at was when they beat the Falcons in the postseason with Akeem Nicks going nuts. The Falcons only scored 2 points in that game. That might have been the last
playoff game.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. I remember that very well. The 2 points
and
that they scored, the Falcons.
And then.
Oh, Sal must have been thrilled that day.
Yeah,
his boys.
No, it was awful. And then I'm trying to think of the Jets. God, I don't even think I've been to a Jet game at the new MetLife.
Are you
serious? It might have been an old Giants stadium.
Oh, my God. Let me ask you a question. What do you think would happen, right? We're at a Giants game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they put us up on the board,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'll be wearing my Carl Banks shirt.
That's what I'm saying. I
think it'd be fine.
Oh, man.
I root for the Giants. I don't wear a different Giant jersey every day.
You actually do have the Banks jersey. That's funny.
Yeah.
No, I am.
We'd have to go with Tiki. Have a little buffer there.
Nah, Tiki's a sweet guy.
That's what I'm saying. Tiki vouch
sit
for
in suites.
I thought we were talking about going to the suites. What do you mean? Sitting in the stands?
Yeah.
Last time I was in the stands, I would get peanuts thrown at me.
come on, dude. Are you that much
BT, it just hit me. I think the last time I went to a Jet game.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I might have been to a preseason game more recently, but the one I was at was the big comeback. They were down 30-3 Monday Night Football against the Dolphins?
Yeah.
You
were at the Monday Night Miracle with Jumbo Elliott catching the pass. That's the last Jets game you were at?
I think so.
There's no, dude, that's 25, 24 years ago.
I told you, I'm on my
own. There's no way that that's the game.
Yeah.
Krebet, Laverdius Coles. Oh, that was a hell of a game.
It was.
Was that 99 or 2000?
No, I think it was 2000. I want to say it was 2000. And
well,
also right around
2000,
the time of the World
Series. Hold on.
Could have been around the time of the Subway Series.
Well, actually, it would have been 99 because that's when Vinny got hurt. 2000 may have even been 01, maybe, because 2000, the Jets started 4-0. That was with Al Groh. And that was when Keyshawn went to Tampa. They started the year 4-0. And Curtis Martin caught the threw the halfback option to Wayne Krebet in the back of the end zone. Remember that Keyshawn was talking smack about Krebet. They played him. He had one catch for -1 yards, whatever. And the Jets started 4-0. And then they fell apart, kind of. Groh left and went to Virginia. So I don't think it was that year. I think it was 01. What was that miracle, Hoff?
That was 2000, I want to say.
I don't think it was 2000.
Yeah, I would guess October.
I don't think Al Groh was the coach.
Only because I feel like there's a tie with the Subway Series. I'm going to guess October of 2000 if I had to guess.
I might be wrong. I don't think it was 2000.
Could have been in the October the next year.
Yeah, well, we got to figure this out now. I need an answer here.
Hoff's looking it up right here.
Dova's staring at us blankly.
Thanks for the help, guys. While they're looking, while they're looking that up, I've been to a Jet game more recently, but it was in the Georgia Dome. The one that was Monday.
Was that Geno Smith?
No, thank God.
That comeback in the fourth quarter?
I took a bath on that.
How much did you lose?
Bad.
Like thousands?
That was it.
Thousands?
No. Of what year, Hoff? It was October 23rd of 2000, he said.
2000?
The Monday Night Miracle, October 23rd of 2000.
I
just remember.
Al Groh was the coach?
That was in like my peak of going to games, so I might have been to a World Series game recently, and then that, and Messier returning to the Garden.
Okay.
But 2005, I want to say, who the hell was the quarterback?
Chet?
Yeah.
Probably Chet.
No. Could have been Brooks Bollinger? Was that
right here? Could have been. Brooks got some reps right around there. Remember, I think Brooks Bollinger played that Dallas Cowboys Thanksgiving Day game, and the Jets got the shot. I actually fell asleep during the game.
2000. I want to say it was 2005. I went down with my cousin, who's a diehard Jet fan.
All right.
And we went to the Georgia Dome and watched the Jets and Falcons on Monday. That was the most recent Jets game that I've been at. But at MetLife, I think it was that, or at Giant Stadium, it was that.
I mean, listen.
We got to go to a game.
We're going.
I want to see Rodgers in person.
Oh, my God. The thing about watching Rodgers pregame is just,
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to sound like a little schoolboy here. It's a thing of beauty. I mean, just watching him throw the ball, it's just like in person. Oh, my God. Just flicks of 40 yards on a dime.
Yeah.
Shoom. Shoom.
Well, Testaverde's the quarterback for what?
Yeah, Vinny Testaverde's the quarterback for the Miracle.
Jets-Falcons game.
In 2005?
That's what it says, yeah.
Yeah, Vinny came back. Remember they got Vinny off the couch.
No, then that's a different. Who was on the roster then? Who else was on the roster then? I could look
this up all day.
Yeah,
of wires here. This is horrible.
There's no way Testaverde was the quarterback in that
game. Yeah, Testaverde because they lost 27-14.
Yeah, he came back. They actually got him off the couch.
Yeah, I don't recall that.
Mm-hmm. Obviously. You don't recall
Yeah.
Were you doubting him? He's looking at Google. He's looking at the box score.
Could have been a different game.
I don't think so.
Ah.
Wait, what?
I'm doubting it.
Oh, God almighty. Don't doubt me.
What year did you go to?
I think 2005, but it could have been
27-14.
Could have been more recent than maybe. In Atlanta, that game?
Yeah.
Then why am I talking about Brooks Bollinger? Was he on the roster?
He probably was in 05.
He did play two. He had two carries.
Oof. They unleashed him.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, maybe
let him loose.
Oh, you know what? He did play. He played. He went 12 for 20.
What number was Brooks?
Oh, okay. So now wait a second. He's 12. So he was in the game. What happened? Did Testaverde get hurt?
Probably.
That's at least why Bollinger stands out in my mind.
12 for 20 for, 67 yards? He probably averaged like 3.4 yards or attempt. Nine screen passes.
What was Testaverde's numbers in that game?
Misery. 11 for 18.
So he must have gotten one hurt. Maybe they benched him. I don't know. Either way, okay. At least I'm not totally nuts. I mean,
can we at least run down some good memories here? Oh, my God.
Well, that was for me at the time. All right, BT.
Hey, Mike Vick threw for 3 interceptions that day.
Yeah, well, they still won the game. BT, I don't remember that part of it. BT, the Falcons were bad after that. 2004, they were good. Then it started to go downhill. That was pre-dogfighting, obviously.
Gotcha.
And then and also pre-blown Super Bowl. Freddie is calling from Springfield, New Jersey. What's up, Freddie?
How you doing, guys? Good. Great show.
Thanks.
Hey, Fred.
Hi. Would you guys probably agree with me that probably 60 to 70% of Giant fans are thumbs down on Daniel Jones? About.
I think it's a great question. I'd be curious what you think here, BT.
I would say I think it's – okay. So let's define the parameters of down. When you say down on, meaning they've already made up their mind or they don't like him, but...
No, that he's not the guy.
I'd say it's more than 60%.
Wow, I would go less. I would either say at 60 or maybe... I mean, come on, think about how many people we hear from all the time that are defending him.
I'd go more than 60% at this point.
Wow.
All right, well, I'm at the 40%.
Okay.
Okay, so because I'm a Daniel Jones thumbs up guy, and I'll tell you why. And one of the reasons is exactly what BT said about an hour ago, which was the guy's got about a second to throw the ball. And now you've heard this before. He has no offensive weapon. Mm-hmm. His offensive line isn't good. But then they say, yeah, but you know what? He's probably not the guy. Like, so how do you say that he has zero time, he has no weapons to speak of, but yet he's not the guy? I'm confused about that.
Fred, that's it.
No, I understand the money part. The most people don't like him, not for the money. Most fans don't involve themselves with the money.
Well, he's also
always
hurt.
That's not true.
He's also always hurt.
Yeah, you know why he's hurt? Because he's got to run for his life.
Freddie, no, that's not why he's hurt.
But Freddie, hold on one sec, Fred. You say most fans don't care about the money. That's not true with a salary cap like the NFL. You have to care about the money.
Okay, but I'm saying the average fan, I consider myself an average fan.
Okay.
Obviously, money is realistically, money is a huge part of it. But most fans look at it whether they like the guy or they don't like the guy, and it's up to the company to decide whether they want to pay him or not.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Freddie, I'm with you on that. I know that it means a lot in the way that teams are structured in sports with salary caps. I don't think fans give a crap. They just want the results. So then I would ask you, forget about the money, Freddie. How about touchdowns thrown?
Well, how do you throw them? You need time. Yeah. And you need a wideout to catch the ball.
Yeah. So it's always been everybody else, but Daniel Jones, as we go into year six, it's not him.
No, listen, Daniel Jones made a lot of mistakes. He fumbled the ball quite a bit.
Yeah, all right, but then he cleaned up the fumbles. Like, he threw for 24 touchdowns in year one, which is very good.
Yeah.
Rookie year, you throw for 24 touchdowns. He fumbled the football, made some mistakes. All right, that's fine. Then you got to clean that up.
He did.
Okay.
He cleaned up the fumbles.
Yeah, but then he didn't throw the touchdowns.
Like, I know, but he protected the ball better.
The idea is you're supposed to protect the ball better and then throw the football the same way. Now, you could talk about the coaching changes and the different offensive schemes, and those are factors. I understand that, but it has been. We're now going to year six.
Yep.
I mean, he's. I honestly don't know what to think. You've seen good, you've seen bad, you've seen some potential, I've seen some awful. The way that I would evaluate it in isolation, has he been dealt the best circumstances? Absolutely not. Well, Zach Wilson? No, he wasn't. But you know what? We ran him out of town.
Yeah, but Zach never even really showed much of a flicker.
Understood.
Daniel Jones has.
But when I watch Daniel Jones, and I understand the poor play offensive line. I understand the lack of weapons. I understand the coaching changes, the schemes, all those different things, the injuries, all that stuff. If you just watch him, he still makes throws, and he did specifically last year in the game Monday Night Football against the Seahawks. Remember, I was a believer in the Giants. I wanted them to win that game. And I'm watching from that perspective, rooting for Daniel Jones. He's still in year five last year, makes throws and made a throw specifically, but it's not just that one.
Talk about when he got picked in the end zone?
Yeah. That rookie.
Right? Is that the one?
Yes. That rookie, it changed the game and potentially this season.
Yes, it did.
And that's just one example, a prime example, but one example. Mm-hmm. This is year five. That's a mistake that rookies make or year two quarterback make, not year five. So that, like, you could throw all the excuses you want. I've still seen Daniel Jones with my own eyes make mistakes that for a quarterback in year five who's getting paid what he's getting paid should not be making.
Here's the problem, and you're not wrong with that, and we're on the same page, and I don't want to sound like a scout, but this is really important. So when somebody says in defense of Jones, well, with more time and with more weaponry, why isn't it realistic to think that it'll be much better? Well, I mean, it's a fair deduction. Here's the problem, though. When you enter the NFL, is it going to be a problem for Zach and everybody else that just is even though Daniel Jones is much better than Zach, more accomplished.
Right.
I'm not trying to equivocate the two exactly. But when you're in the NFL from day one and you don't have time to process, and I hate the football speak, go through your progressions, right? But when you don't have time to do that, you get to a point where you speed up so much that you can't go back. Even when you have a better offensive line and you have better weapons, you're still going to be a little deficient there. So because of what's been around him, either an absence of playmakers or a massive hole in front of him, the O-line, Daniel Jones's brain, even though it's a very fertile brain in terms of intelligence,
right,
has been forced to speed things up to a point where I don't think he'll ever, even with a really good O-line, be an elite recognizer of what's in front of him.
You know, I love what you just said, because in all sports, at some point, the game simply has to slow down for you. And that's the best way to say it, where you just said it. Even in year five, the game has not slowed down for him. Will it happen in year six?
You might get a little bump, a little increment, but it's never going to be, I don't think, what...
I think it's either in you or it's not.
For. Yeah, to an extent. I mean, that's... That I don't really know. Like, I can't even... I could make something up. I'm not going to waste anybody's time. Like, I would love to know. Like, Tiki would be great to... Like, do you think that... You know, I don't think that you're born with reading a defense,
right,
like you are with speed. But, you know, are some people maybe who don't show it early, or are they still predisposed to have it come out? I don't know the answer to that. I honestly don't. I don't know. But it's interesting. 888-808-1019. Sal, go get a good pack of cards, brother.
What year you want?
What do you think here? What should I do?
You could pick.
I'd like to fly. How about you pick for me?
Okay, I got it.
All right? Yeah, you pick for me. We'll do that coming up. Game time with Al Boomer.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL on CBS game every week on Paramount Plus. Now, time for Game Time without Boomer Esiason with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, BT, game time. I feel like we haven't done this in a while. I'm not sure why that's the case.
Well, vacations.
Yeah, what did we do last week? Thursday we were at the Joe Torre thing.
Joe Torre's
outing. The week before that, I think we were on vacation.
I don't recall.
There might have been a shorter show. Oh, we were on vacation, maybe. I don't know. Either way, here we go.
Hey, by the way, as we dive into this pack, and you tell me what year it is and everything in a second, Old School Baseball, the Pete Rose documentary, the four-piece.
I had that on my list of things to get to.
Okay, sorry, my bad.
Because I caught up specifically last night. You told me that you saw all four.
Ugh.
So last night I was up till 12 watching
it. You watched all of them?
Yes, we're going to get to that later on.
Nice.
And by the way, that is in part why I picked the year that I picked this
look
time.
At Sal, always bringing it together.
In part.
Okay.
1986.
Yeah, I got you.
You could imagine the two parts. Yeah, all right, we'll open up a pack of 86.
Sure, it's not anything to do with Run DMC. It's got to be something with the Mets.
Yeah, right. You want this gum? This actually, gum doesn't look bad.
Let me take a look. Does it smell good?
Not awful. I mean,
should I take a little bite? How about you want to take
you're
one?
You're good?
What's right? No. Well, nah, forget it then.
Yeah, I can't do it.
I'm good. I'm checking
it. He just said
I remember that.
Disintegrated in his mouth.
Yeah, it was like glue.
All right, fresh pack. I don't know how many I got
and
here.
And this is 86 tops?
1986 tops.
All right, it's been a little bit. Could be rusty, Sal.
This would be my favorite. Not only was my favorite year for baseball reasons, but it was my favorite year for the cards. I love these cards. All right. Johnny Grubb.
I believe Johnny Grubb was on the Toronto Blue Jays at this point. No? Mm. Tigers?
Good God, I can't even see the back of these cards. Come on, anybody got a magnifying glass?
Toronto?
No, he was on the Tigers. Never heard of Johnny Grubb. But he was a long time. Look at the back.
I remember him.
But maybe he was on the Blue Jays before that.
I got to put my glasses on. Look at us here. I can barely even see it still. Nah, whatever. I don't know. I got it wrong 0-for-1.
But I'm just curious if you play with Toronto.
Johnny Grubb.
Tigers,
I feel like
Mariners,
he was with Toronto at some point.
0-for-1. Johnny Leemaster.
Was a pitcher. I want to say at the Giants.
I want to say you're wrong on both. Oh!
What?
He was a long time Giant.
Yeah.
Has here shortstop for the Pirates. And he's got that sick hat. This is a nice
hat. That's a nice. It's the Manny Sanguian hat. That's sweet. Two, Sal.
You knew you were right ballpark.
A little rusty.
Wrong team.
Okay.
Let me mix these up a little.
Yeah, mix them up. Come on. Give me two.
I'll give you some confidence.
Give me the fairway,
you struggling a little bit. Robin Yount.
Brewers.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't even hesitate.
No.
Randy Bush.
Randy Bush was.
I remember his. You remember him as a player or no?
I think he was on the Padres, but hold on. Let me. Randy Bush. I'm going to go Padres. No, huh?
Twins. I figured he'd be up your alley. Lefty bat.
Look at those Twins uniforms.
You like that?
Powder blues, Kent Herbeck.
That is a nice. Isn't that sweet. This card is great. Keith Moreland, another name I'm familiar
Cubbies.
With. Boom!
Two,
on fire right there.
Five.
That's a tricky one, too, because you play with a couple
little
teams.
Little bit. He bounced around.
Bob Dernier.
2-for-5 I am so far.
Look in here. We got a couple
Cubs.
Of layups. Yes. Good call.
I was between Cubs and Phillies.
Sammy Khalifa.
I believe.
The original Wiz Khalifa.
I'm thinking Pirates. Hold on. I'm thinking Pirates. That's the first thing that jumps into my head here.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he was a middle infielder.
Yes.
Pirates.
Yes.
Let's
good
go,
call.
Baby. Yes.
I never heard of him, I don't think.
Guess who's back.
Dave Parker.
Reds.
Boom.
Big Davey.
Big Dave. I like that card, too.
5-for-8.
Ken Schramm.
Oh. Just sounds like a turd, doesn't he?
Yeah, never heard of
like
him.
A geek.
Never heard of him in my life.
Schramm. Coming in, it's like a 13-2 game. Just clean it up. Pitcher, I'm guessing, right? Some scrub pitcher.
Actually,
Ken Schramm. I'm going to go, I don't know, out west because I don't really know him. Didn't see him much back in the day. Am I right with the West Coast
theory? I'm not going to give you a hint here.
Ken Schramm, Padres.
Twins.
All right. 5-for-9. Ken Schramm.
Like, look at him as a nerd. He has a big league picture.
Look at his hat's like Elmer Fudd perched above his head.
It's a big leaguer.
I understand. 5-for-9, Sal.
Dave Collins.
This is 1986. All right, this is a little tricky.
Yeah, because he was a long-time big leaguer.
Dave Collins was an outfielder who can run.
He was an outfielder.
Lefty hitter who was, he may have been like the back end of the big red machine in the late 70s. Then he went to the Yankees for a minute in like 81-ish, 82. Why are you looking at me like I'm nuts?
It's almost like you're reading the back of the card.
Oh, no, I know.
Yeah.
Now, he's not on the Yankees in 86. I know that. He's gone. Oh, Dave Collins. Where did he go after this?
I'm going to give you a little hint.
Please do.
He went to two teams after that. Because you were right about the Reds in the late 70s, early 80s.
He had good speed. He had a couple of years where he stole some bases.
You were right about the Yankees in 82. Then he played for two teams, one of which is
Pirates or Toronto. Those are two teams that are jumping into my head. Maybe the Tigers. It's not the Cardinals, not the Mets, not the Astros. I mean, I don't want to just do this for like 10 hours here. Pirates.
What's that?
Pirates.
No.
Who?
A's.
Oh.
And he was on Toronto before that, so you were close. So he went from the Yankees to Toronto and then to the A's.
Man, I was in the neighborhood.
Ed Wojna, W-O-J-N.
I know, I've never heard of this guy. Seattle.
San Diego.
I didn't waste anybody's time. 5-for-11. No, some tough ones in here. It's a tough pack,
all right,
dude.
I'm going to split these up because you get two tough ones, I think, and two layups.
It's been a tough pack.
Jason Thompson.
Is this the easy one or the hard one?
This is a hard one.
Yeah, I was going to say. Reds.
No, Pirates, actually.
All right.
He was a long-time big leaguer. He was with the Pirates in 86.
I don't remember him.
Here's a layup.
Go.
Alan Trammell.
Tigers, 6-for-13.
Mike Fishlin.
I feel like Mike Fishlin was a pitcher.
Not in this card.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was he a Pirate?
He was not. You love guessing Pirates.
I don't know, dude. 6-for-14.
He was Cleveland.
Okay.
But then Indians.
Yeah.
Final one for you.
Yeah.
Dale Barra.
Dale Barra may have actually been on the Yankees.
1986 Tops.
I'll say Yanks.
Sure not Pirates?
I'm going to say Yankees. Yes.
Yankees.
Let's go.
I remember that card, Dale Barra.
All right.
You kept track of what you did?
7-for-15.
All right, there you go. Not bad. That was a tough
back.
That was a tough
Not
back.
My best work, but.
I love those 86.
Not
tops,
easy.
Man. That's fun. All right, let's get back to the calls.
All right.
877, excuse me.
What do you want to get to the Pete Rose stuff later?
Yeah. I figure 1 o'clock hour we can do that. If not 12:40, that's fine. I'm going to reset, come up a little bit. But yes, I definitely want to talk about the Pete Rose stuff because I did watch that show. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Steven is in Brooklyn. What's up, Steven?
Hey, boys. Great show today. Just get back to the Giants real quickly. Sal, we always talked about, you know, building inside out on that offensive line. But, you know, what you're coming from is they didn't make that pick in the draft. But through free agency, as you watch Hard Knocks, you know, they built, you know, with Runyon, Illuminor, they just picked up this other guy, Van something from the Raiders.
Yeah,
and the biggest thing also, two guys, Brasil, the new offensive line coach from the Raiders, had a great year last year with his offensive line team. It's going to be different, but it's going to be better. It's going to be adequate. Even if it's adequate and Jones has time to throw, It's gonna be a better year for us, you know. So you had to pick the weapon because at that point, even the show said it, Sal. They had no weapons, you know. If you don't pick neighbors,
I'm not saying that they should have taken an offensive lineman there. I would have done if they loved the quarterback. I would have, and I said this before the draft. I'll say it afterward. They need a quarterback. That would have been the way.
One more thing, Sal.
Yeah, go ahead. No,
I hear you. One more thing too. All those teams that were ahead of the Giants, they all need quarterbacks. And it's very tough to get to that top three and knowing that you have these great prospects. The Giants would have had given, you know, everybody to get one of those quarterbacks. And that's not going to happen. I mean, and you saw they tried to go up, but they were going to have to give them, like, these crazy picks. And first-round quarterbacks sometimes don't pan out. It's only 50-50. So,
okay. And by the way, Steve, I applaud them for their restraint. I mean, you know, we're talking about when does Dable find his own guy. Don't you think Dable wants to find his own guy more than we do? I mean, but they've got to remain, and they have been, and I do applaud this, they've got to remain married to the blueprint. Smart people don't deviate too far from what they think is the right play. Like, you'll have flexibility, you'll have pliability, you know, you can have a couple of different options, but if the option is not what you deem really worthy, don't settle. And they didn't.
Yeah, but ultimately, do you think that they believe in Daniel Jones?
To the Super Bowl degree, which is all that matters, no.
It's not all
no,
that matters.
No, my answer, like, is no. I'm going to say directly no.
Right, me neither. So, all right. Like, I'm saying this open and honest with you. I'm having this conversation live on the air, but thinking this out. Are we wrong, or me in this particular case, as a sports fan, holding teams to the highest of standards? Like, because you say, can he win the Super Bowl? And ultimately, that's what it's always about. But at least with, let's say, Drake May, you'd go all in, you get your quarterback, and then we find out if he could be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Daniel Jones, I feel like we all assume or feel strongly that he's not that guy, but it doesn't mean the Giants couldn't have a playoff season again, because he clearly can do that, because he did already do that.
I don't think you're wrong to think that. I'm with you most times, but I think you're leaving out one important option in that equation. Drafting May, swinging and missing, finding out he's not the Super Bowl guy, and you've got no first-round picks to then build around. It's 10 more years. You're terrible.
Well, maybe not 10.
Well,
but
close.
Yeah.
Close.
I mean, look, there are ways
Sal
to do. I mean,
close.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Jets have missed how many years in a row on quarterback?
And they have been horrendous. They have the longest playoff drought in North American team sports.
Right. But again, it's not just one
That's
move that
prize.
Set him back. It's not,
you know what I mean?
It's not just one move that set him back. It's a lot. So,
well, because they missed on Darnold and now Zach.
Then I guess my point is, okay, so fine. You know, everybody's rooting for the Giants here. Giant fans, whatever. I'm rooting for the Giants. But their expected win total is 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? So are we looking for a 10-win season and everybody's going to be happy about that?
I'm not saying that, but I think,
I don't know. I mean, I'm genuinely asking, like,
okay, well, if we're not trying to go all in and get the guy that's going to get us to the promised land, mm-hmm. then what are we doing? Slowly building but enjoying the ride along the way? Okay.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you why. Because even though it seems like a movie and sport has proven to be great theater, there's no script, even though some people think that there is.
Yeah.
So, like, we could sit here and say, well, Vegas has 6.5. Maybe they get 7. Maybe they get 8. You know, I'm sure the Giants don't think they're a 15-2 team. They're realistic. They know they're going to take some lumps in certain spots. But the unpredictable nature of sport, you never know.
Yeah, I guess the same thing plays for baseball.
Like, yeah.
Yankees more likely than the Mets to win a World Series. But, heck, if both teams are in the playoffs, yeah, I guess you never know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't let logic and common sense get in the way. Let's put the blind.
But I don't think they did, because I think that they used the logic and common sense by not giving up the 5 or 6 first-round picks to move a mountain for a guy they didn't believe in.
Right.
And that's my point, which I applaud. You don't. I don't know, but it's interesting. 888-808-1019. Sal, go get a good pack of cards, brother.
What year you want?
What do you think here? What should I do?
You could pick.
I'd like to fly. How about you pick for me?
Okay, I got
all
it.
All right? Yeah, you pick for me. We'll do that coming up. Game time with Al Boomer.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL on CBS game every week on Paramount Plus. Now, time for Game Time Without Boomer Esiason with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, BT, Game Time. I feel like we haven't done this in a while. I'm not sure why that's the case.
Well, vacations.
Yeah, what did we do last week? Thursday we were at the Joe Torre thing.
Joe Torre's
outing. The week before that, I think we were on vacation.
I don't recall.
There might have been a shorter show. We were on vacation, maybe. I don't know. Either way, here we go.
Hey, by the way, as we dive into this pack, and you tell me what year it is and everything, in a second. Old School Baseball, the Pete Rose documentary, the four-piece.
I had that on my list of things to get to.
Okay, I'm sorry, my bad.
Because I caught up specifically last night. You told me that you saw all four.
Ugh.
So last night I was up till 12 watching
it. You watched all of them?
Yes, we're going to get to that later on.
Nice.
And by the way, that is in part why I picked the year that I picked this
look
time.
At Sal, always bringing it together.
In part.
Okay.
1986.
Yeah, I got you.
You can imagine the two parts. Yeah, all right, we'll open up a pack of 86.
I'm sure it's not anything to do with Run DMC. It's got to be something with the Mets.
Yeah, right. You want this gum? This actually, gum doesn't look bad.
Let me take a look. Does it smell good?
Not awful. I mean,
should I take a little bite? How about you want to take
you're
one?
You're good?
What's right? No. Well, nah, forget it then.
Yeah, I can't do it.
I'm good. I'll check
it out. And he just said disintegrated in his mouth.
Yeah, it's like almost like glue.
All right, fresh pack. I don't know how many I got
and
here.
And this is 86 tops?
1986 tops.
All right, it's been a little bit. Could cards. Be rusty, Sal.
This would be my favorite. Not only was my favorite year for baseball reasons, but it was my favorite year for the cards. I love these cards. All right, Johnny Grubb.
I believe Johnny Grubb was on the Toronto Blue Jays at this point. No? Mm. Tigers?
Good God, I can't even see the back of these cards.
Come on,
anybody got a magnifying glass?
Toronto?
No, he was on the Tigers. Never heard of Johnny Grubb. But he was a long time. Look at the back.
I remember him.
But maybe he was on the Blue Jays before that.
I got to put my glasses on. Look at us here. I can barely even see it still. Nah, whatever. I don't know. I got it wrong 0-for-1.
But I'm just curious if you play with Toronto.
Johnny Grubb.
Tigers,
I feel like
Mariners,
he was with Toronto at some point.
0-for-1. Johnny Leemaster.
Was a pitcher. I want to say the Giants.
I want to say you're wrong on both. Oh!
What?
He was a long time Giant.
Yeah.
Has here shortstop for the Pirates. And he's got that sick hat. This is a nice
one. Oh, that's a nice. It's the Manny Sanguian hat. That's sweet. Two, Sal.
You knew you were right ballpark.
A little rusty.
Wrong team.
Okay.
Let me mix these up a little.
Yeah, mix them up. Come on. Give me 2 foot putt.
I'll give you some confidence.
Give me the fairway,
see you struggling
at least.
A little bit. Hey, Robin Yount.
Brewers.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't even hesitate.
No.
Randy Bush.
Randy Bush was.
I remember his. You remember him as a player or no?
I think he was on the Padres, but hold on. Let me. Randy Bush. I'm going to go Padres. No, huh?
Twins. I figured he'd be up your alley. Lefty bat.
Look at those Twins uniforms.
You like that?
Powder blues, Ken Herbeck.
That is a nice. Those isn't that? This card is great. Keith Moreland, another name I'm familiar
Cubbies.
With. Boom! On fire right there.
Five.
That's a tricky one, too, because you play with a couple teams.
A little bit. He bounced around.
Bob Dernier.
2-for-5 I am so far.
Look in here. We got a couple
Cubs.
Of layers. Yes. Good call.
I was between Cubs and Phillies.
Sammy Khalifa.
I believe.
The original Wiz Khalifa.
I'm thinking Pirates. Hold on. I'm thinking Pirates. That's the first thing that jumps into my head here.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he was a middle infielder.
Yes.
Pirates.
Yes.
Let's
good
go,
call.
Baby. Yes.
I never heard of him, I don't think.
Guess who's back, back, back?
Dave Parker.
Reds.
Boom.
Big Davey.
Big Dave. I like that card, too.
5 for 8.
Ken Schramm.
Oh. Just sounds like a turd, doesn't he?
Yeah, never heard of him.
Sounds like a
geek. Never heard of him in my life.
Schramm. Coming in, it's like a 13-2 game. Just clean it up. Pitcher, I'm guessing, right? Some scrub pitcher.
Actually,
Ken Schramm. I'm going to go, I don't know, out west because I don't really know him. Didn't see him much back in the day. Am I right with the West Coast
theory? I'm not going to give you a hint here.
Ken Schramm, Padres.
Twins.
All right. 5 for 9. Ken Schramm.
Like, look at him as a nerd. He's got a big league picture.
Look, his hat's like Elmer Fudd perched above his head.
It's a big leaguer.
I understand. 5 for 9, Sal.
Dave Collins.
Dave Collins. This is 1986. All right, this is a little tricky.
Yeah, because he was a long-time big leaguer.
Dave Collins was an outfielder who can run.
He was an outfielder.
Lefty hitter who was, may have been like the back end of the big red machine in the late 70s. Then he went to the Yankees for a minute in like 81-ish, 82. Why are you looking at me like I'm nuts?
It's almost like you're reading the back of the card.
Oh, no, I know.
Yeah.
Now, he's not on the Yankees in 86. I know that. He's gone. Oh, Dave Collins. Where did he go after this?
I'm going to give you a little hint.
Please do.
He went to two teams after that. Because you were right about the Reds in the late 70s, early 80s.
He had good speed. He had a couple of years where he stole some bases.
You were right about the Yankees in 82. Then he played for two teams. One of which is
Pirates or Toronto. Those are two teams that are jumping into my head. Maybe the Tigers. It's not the Cardinals, not the Mets, not the Astros. I mean, I can listen. I don't want to just do this for the next 10 hours here. Pirates.
What's that?
Pirates.
No.
Who?
A's.
Oh.
And he was on Toronto before that. So you were close. So he went from the Yankees to Toronto and then to the A's.
Man, I was in the neighborhood.
Ed Wojna. W-O-J-N.
I've never heard of this guy. Seattle.
San Diego.
I didn't waste anybody's time. 5 for 11. No, some tough ones in here. These are tough pack,
all
dude.
Right, I'm going to split these up because you get two tough ones, I think, and two layups.
It's been a tough pack.
Jason Thompson.
Is this the easy one or the hard one?
This is a hard one.
Yeah, I was going to say. Reds.
No, Pirates, actually.
All right.
He was a long-time big leaguer. He was with the Pirates in 86.
I don't remember him.
Here's a layup.
Go.
Alan Trammell.
Tigers, 6 for 13.
Mike Fishlin.
I feel like Mike Fishlin was a pitcher.
Not in this card.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was he a Pirate?
He was not. You love guessing Pirates.
I don't know, dude. 6 for 14.
It was Cleveland.
Okay.
The then Indians.
Yeah.
Final one for you.
Yeah.
Dale Barra.
Dale Barra may have actually been on the Yankees.
1986 tops.
I'll say Yanks.
Sure, not Pirates?
I'm going to say Yankees. Yes.
Yankees.
Let's go.
I remember that card, Dale Barra.
All right.
You kept track of what you did?
7 for 15.
All right, there you go. Not bad. That was a tough
back.
That was a tough
not
back.
My best work, but.
I love those 86.
Not
tops,
easy.
Man. That's fine. All right, let's get back to the calls.
All right.
877, excuse me.
When do you want to get into the Pete Rose stuff? Later?
Yeah. I figure 1 o'clock hour we can do that. If not 12:40, that's fine. I'm going to reset, come up a little bit. But yes, I definitely want to talk about the Pete Rose stuff because I did watch that show. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Steven is in Brooklyn. What's up, Steven?
Hey, boys. Great show today. Just get back to the Giants real quickly. Sal, we always talked about, you know, building inside out on that offensive line. But, you know, what you're coming from is they didn't make that pick in the draft. But through free agency, as you watch Hard Knocks, you know, they built, you know, with Runyon, Illuminor, they just picked up this other guy, Van something from the Raiders.
Yeah,
and the biggest thing also, two guys, Brasil, the new offensive line coach from the Raiders, had a great year last year with his offensive line team. It's going to be different, but it's going to be better. It's going to be adequate. Even if it's adequate and Jones has time to throw, It's gonna be a better year for us, you know. So you had to pick the weapon because at that point, even the show said it, Sal. They had no weapons, pick neighbors.
I'm not saying that they should have taken an offensive lineman there. I would have done if they loved the quarterback. I would have, and I said this before the draft. I'll say it afterward. They need a quarterback. That would have been the way.
One more thing, Sal.
Yeah, go ahead. No,
I hear you. One more thing too. All those teams that were ahead of the Giants, they all need quarterbacks. And it's very tough to get to that top three and knowing that you have these great prospects.
the Giants would have had given, you know, everybody to get one of those quarterbacks. And that's not going to happen. I mean, and you saw they tried to go up, but they were going to have to give them, like, these crazy picks. And first-round quarterbacks sometimes don't pan out. It's only 50-50. So,
okay. And by the way, Steve, I applaud them for their restraint. I mean, you know, we're talking about when does Dable find his own guy. Don't you think Dable wants to find his own guy more than we do? I mean, but they've got to remain, and they have been, and I do applaud this, they've got to remain married to the blueprint. Smart people don't deviate too much too far from what they think is the right play. Like, you'll have flexibility, you'll have pliability, you can have a couple of different options, but if the option is not what you deem really worthy, don't settle. And they didn't.
Yeah, but ultimately, do you think that they believe in Daniel Jones?
To the Super Bowl degree, which is all that matters, no.
It's not all
no,
that matters.
No, my answer, like, is no. I'm going to say directly no.
Right, me neither. So, all right, like, I'm saying this open and honest with you. I'm having this conversation live on the air, but thinking this out. Are we wrong, or me in this particular case, as a sports fan, holding teams to the highest of standards? Like, could you say, can he win the Super Bowl? And ultimately, that's what it's always about. But at least with, let's say, Drake May, you'd go all in, you get your quarterback, and then we find out if he could be that guy. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Daniel Jones, I feel like we all assume or feel strongly that he's not that guy, but it doesn't mean the Giants couldn't have a playoff season again, because he clearly can do that, because he did already do that.
I don't think you're wrong to think that. I'm with you most times, but I think you're leaving out one important option in that equation. Drafting May, swinging and missing, finding out he's not the Super Bowl guy, and you've got no first-round picks to then build around. It's 10 more years. You're terrible.
Well, maybe not 10.
Well,
but
close.
Yeah.
Close.
I mean, look, there are ways
Sal,
to do. I mean,
close.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Jets have missed how many years in a row on quarterbacks?
And they have been horrendous. They have the longest playoff drought in North American team sports.
Right. But again, it's not just one
That's
move that
prize.
Set him back. It's not.
You know what I mean?
It's not just one move that set him back. It's a lot. So,
well, because they missed on Darnold and now Zach.
Then I guess my point is, okay, so fine. You know, everybody's rooting for the Giants here. Giant fans, whatever. I'm rooting for the Giants. But their win total is 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? So are we looking for a 10-win season and everybody's going to be happy about that?
I'm not saying that, but I
don't know. I mean, I'm genuinely asking, like, okay, well, if we're not trying to go all in and get the guy that's going to get us to the promised land, mm-hmm. then what are we doing? Slowly building but enjoying the ride along the way?
Okay. Yeah, well, I'll tell you why. Because even though it seems like a movie and sport has proven to be great theater, there's no script, even though some people think that there is.
Yeah.
So, like, we could sit here and say, well, Vegas has 6.5. Maybe they get 7. Maybe they get 8. You know, I'm sure the Giants don't think they're a 15-2 team. They're realistic. They know they're going to take some lumps in certain spots. But the unpredictable nature of sport, you never know.
Yeah, I guess the same thing plays for baseball. Like,
yeah.
Yankees more likely than the Mets to win a World Series. But, heck, if both teams are in the playoffs, I guess you never know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't let logic and common sense get in the way. Let's put the blind.
But I don't think they did, because I think that they used the logic and common sense by not giving up the 5 or 6 first-round picks to move a mountain for a guy they didn't believe in.
Right.
And that's my point, which I applaud.